Good morning.
Well, that was successful, wasn't it? It's always the sign of a healthy church family that you stand at the front and say good morning and everybody's busy saying good morning to each other. That's good. But we're also here to be together. So let's all pull in now and we are going to worship. We are going to celebrate. We are going to position ourselves for more of God. We're focusing on God's presence together, and he loves that, and we love that. So that's what we're going to do, right?
And just on my heart, there's nowhere that we can go that is away from his presence. Yeah.
That's a very meaningful silence, isn't it? Very good. All right, why don't we worship, and then we're going to do some celebrating during the worship. And I'll explain that as we go along. Let's stand if you're able, and come on down and flag and dance and lay on the floor and do whatever you want to do to worship Jesus.
I'm going to start with some celebration. Just as a means of introduction, so this week I was looking at the Lord's Prayer, and I love reading from the Passion and the Passion Translation, and when it gets to the part that says the glory of your name, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn, and it unpacks name, and there's an alternative reading of the Aramaic text. The Aramaic word for name is Shama. It's a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is Shem. It's a word with multiple meanings. It can also mean translated light, sound, and atmosphere. So we can interchange those to just see a little bit more of the meaning that's behind all that God says. We get one sort of viewpoint, but it's sort of multi-viewpointed. And so may the glory of your sound, may the glory of your presence, may the glory. The glory of your light, the glory of your sound, and the glory of your atmosphere.
Amen. He's good, right?
All the time.
So we have lots to celebrate, and we want to get some testimonies before we continue to worship, because then we're worshiping what God has done and what he wants to do. We're in the midst of a season where God is doing more, and that's so important that we recognize what God is doing and celebrate what God is doing. And so we're going to hear from Crystal a bit later on about the ladies' event last weekend, but some of the ladies who went to that may have stuff to share. But also we've had a very successful My Sister's Closet this weekend. And congratulations to all of you who put so much into it for still being here today and not sort of flat on your backs. It was amazing. But I'd love to hear some of the stories. I know there was a lot of good stuff going on in Spirit Cafe with those who are praying, but lots of good conversations and good interactions here as well. So who wants to just give glory to God for what you've seen this weekend and tell us some things to celebrate? Come on up.
I'll start. Well, I always say, like, one of the biggest and funnest things about Sister's Closet is the fact that it's donated clothes that you don't know what you're getting, but yet when people come, they're like, oh, I needed this, oh, I needed that, and they're finding, like, the perfect pieces to add or whatever, but I swear I feel like this time there was so, like, we got rid of so much stuff. I feel like most of the time we got all this stuff left over, but like I was breaking down racks, breaking down tables. We were consolidating. We were like, people were coming as we were packing and still going through the stuff we were packing up. So like there was like a plethora of stuff leaving, and Miss Sally didn't have quite as much as normal to pick up. But it was so cute because Well, one, we have regulars, and they're so funny when they come in. They're like, oh, hey, we only come to see y'all. I'm like, okay, well, come on. But these two little girls, they're little Hispanic girls, and Jane called me over, and we were praying with them. And, well, we asked them to pray for us. And they were like, so they prayed or whatnot, but it was the most adorable Holy Spirit filled moment where neither one of these two little girls had ever prayed out loud for somebody before. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they're like, what, wow. 12, 13, maybe. And they were just so excited to pray, and they prayed. And then afterwards they were like, oh, that's the first time we've done that. And they like, just the excitement on their faces and whatnot. And I was like, so I gave them my card so that we could get in touch with like youth stuff or whatever. And they both texted me already and sent their numbers and stuff so we could be in touch. But it was so, it was just so cute. And they were just so like, the Holy Spirit was so right there in the midst of them for the first time as a child praying out loud for an adult. So it was very encouraging for them too. But, and I'm going to be a grandma.
Yay. Come on, great grandma, come and tell us about it.
Okay, Sister Closet is always a blessing. I always find it so much fun. People think I'm crazy, but I love yard sales and Sister's Closet. It's just fun to see people get things for nothing or for, you know, very little. But this year we got stuff unpacked really good, so I got to spend some time in actually in the Spirit Cafe praying for people. I got to pray for all the Hispanics. That means I haven't prayed in Spanish for quite a few years since mission trips. I was having a really good time. My mind had to think about things. But then I got to translate for Linda and Fount praying, because they were praying for Hispanics too. So I got to be the translator. And I found that to be so much fun. I hadn't done that in so long. I stumbled over a few words, but it was still like such a blessing that I got to go in there and speak to the Hispanics, and we led them to Spanish churches and stuff where they could, you know, at Ignite, where they could actually, you know, get something in Spanish, you know, instead of not going to church. And this week, we always said we weren't going to do Saturdays anymore. This Saturday was the busiest Saturday we've ever had since we opened Sister's Closet. It was like constant people, not as bad as the other 2 days, but, you know, normally Saturday's like dead, but this Saturday was a blessing. So many people came, so I'm just thankful that everyone that helped, because it's so much fun.
That's great, Sherry. Thank you. There's definitely the sense of the snowballs rolling, isn't there? Who else?
Lives are getting changed. And I'm going to speak a story from Fountain Linda, who last time prayed for a beautiful family, very beautiful family, Muslim family, and Fount saw such a calling on one of the daughters and prayed into that with her last time. And it was they were with Fount and Linda for quite an extended time last time. Loved it. He was so impacted by it, he prayed for her every day for months. And they sat in front of them again this time. And so he said, you know, he was very clear, this is a calling, and it's Jesus who's calling you. And they're on a journey. But lives are getting changed, and we're impacting cultures and people. We have people from Greek backgrounds and all over. Oh, yes. So another family, compound family, I prayed for the sister. They were hoping to have children. This is, yes, just over a year. I prayed that they would be able to conceive. They were wanting to conceive. And so they've had the baby now. Yeah.
See, God's doing all kinds of miraculous stuff. All around us, and we just need to open our eyes and see it, don't we? It's good. Anything else to celebrate that maybe not connected to Sister's Closet, but something else that we can give thanks for before we come back to worship again? Come on.
I know I'm going to be sharing in a minute, but I do want to share this story from my event. So many incredible stories of the ladies who went, but one of the ladies we always have a prayer table in the corner in it, and I always let the ladies know any time during the event. It doesn't matter if I'm talking. It doesn't matter if it's in the beginning. Whenever, any time, God puts something on your heart, you can go over there to get prayer. And the whole table is filled with ladies who want to pray. And we've got two beautiful cushy chairs that they can just sit in and be with God, and then, you know, out of the way, and someone will just pray for them. One of the ladies went over for prayer, and she sent an email after the event, and she had some polyps in her neck. And she had already been told by the doctor that it could be serious. And she went up for prayer. But prior to her going up for prayer, during the event, she felt something just kind of move in her neck. And then she went up for prayer, and they prayed over it. And the next day was her doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And she went, and there was absolutely nothing.
Wow.
The polyps were gone, everything. There was just nothing there at all.
Wow.
And so that was just a beautiful testimony from the event.
That's wonderful, Crystal. Thank you. And, of course, the other thing we can celebrate is that we've had this amazing wildfire for the past week, but not a single property has been lost and not a single person injured. Nice. And we gathered to pray last week, and God has been answering prayer, not just from us, but all around the area. So last chance to celebrate out loud in front of everybody before we stand up and celebrate together. All right, let's do it. Let's stand up and sing some more. Jesus, you've captured our hearts with your love. With the vision of your smile toward us. With your grace and your sacrifice on our behalf. With the way that you've redeemed us and made us whole and given us a purpose and a destiny to live for. Our hearts are yours, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We lay our lives before you again today. For your glory and for the sake of the world. We love you. Just in the stillness, let his love touch your heart even more deeply right now. Let him whisper truth to you in the deepest places. Receive his embrace as he brings you to the Father and fills you with his Spirit. Jesus, our heart's desire is to be aligned with you, to be all that you designed us to be, and to fulfill our purpose together, to show the world that there's hope, to show the world that there's life, to show the world that there's healing and wholeness, to show the world that you're worth it. And that you did all that you did so that all men could come back into relationship with you. So continue to speak to our hearts in our gathering time now. Equip us, encourage us, exhort us, empower us. We love you. We love you. You feel the anticipation. God's on the move among us. He's not done yet. There's a lot more to come. And some of that's going to be in our talking and sharing together this morning. Some of it's going to be ahead of us. I want to just let you know that this week we have a very special treat. Our friend Franklin Spence is going to be with us. Going to be meeting with the leaders on Wednesday night at our home, but also then Friday evening and Saturday afternoon and evening will be our sort of short mini conference with Franklin. We want to invite as many folks as possible. So if you have a sense of anticipation this morning, I want you to take two or three of the flyers with you as you go today and ask God, who am I going to invite to come and join us Friday night, Saturday afternoon and evening? Franklin has a beautiful testimony of encountering God for himself, but also for the church. And he has this grace about him to impart that to us. And we want more of that. We want more of what God's up to, right? Yeah, several of us do, yeah. And so I encourage you to come bring friends for that. I'll pass the flyers around in just a moment. I want us to hear from Crystal, because the ladies' event last weekend was a wonderful success, and God gave you some really clever, some really deep stuff to share in that weekend. I'm going to grab you a podium, but let me give you a microphone.
Okay. Hello. I did want to say something real quick before I share about a little bit about the event. Jane was playing a song, and one of the words in the song was, "We love the fragrance of your holy name." And I wanted to just talk about that for a moment. I did share this particular verse at the event, but I want to share these two verses. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "I am to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." We love the fragrance of your holy name. Yes, God has a fragrance, and he's filling us with his fragrance, but we are the fragrance. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma redolent with life." So I just really loved that. We love the fragrance of your holy name, and we are the fragrance of Christ. You know, when we cook something and we cook it for a long period of time, there's an aroma that it makes. And when you walk into a house, you can smell it. When Carol's cooking her roast and invites us over, you can smell that roast when you walk into the room. Same thing with potpourri. If you're cooking it, I mean, there's just a scent when you walk in. But it's the same with us. The longer something bakes, the stronger the scent. The more that we spend time with God and the more that we walk with God, the more that scent in us will rise up, and people will begin to recognize it. People will begin to see God in our lives. And the more that we sit with God and be with God, the more that we will have an effect on their lives. And I think the question that was posed to me during that song was, does a room change because I enter it? And I think the question is, does a room change when we enter it? And it should, because our lives radiate with God's love. I just want to say a little bit about that lyric that in the song that Jane played. So I wanted to share just briefly about the event, a little something about the event. So if you went to the event, you've already heard this, but you know,
Roger said this in prayer about realignment, and Mark talked about it as well. And I do want to play off of the word alignment. But before I do, so I was the last one at my event, days after my event, to actually open some gifts that were given at the event. And so I had to take a time of rest because, man, it's a lot. It takes a lot out of you. And so then when I was home, I finally got to open some of my gifts. And so we all got this thing that this little card, it was a bookmark or a card that was sealed. And in the inside was a beautiful watercolor picture of a flower. And on the back was an actual flower with its meaning on it. And so I did some of the watercolors, and so did Kathy Noel. And Kathy Noel's watercolors are just phenomenal. And I thought, I want one of Kathy's. I hope I get one of Kathy's. But I didn't. I got one of mine. But let me tell you, of all the watercolors I did, this one was my very, very favorite. And I got it. I'm going to show you. Now, I'm just a beginner, so. I got this one. And it was my favorite one out of all the ones I did. And on the back was the flower marigold. And it said, the meaning was creativity and joy. And I didn't know it was going to say that. I didn't even know this is what I was going to get. But God lined it up perfectly because I am so creative. And, you know, and I just feel like he's telling me, continue on with your creativity and watch how I will use you in the word joy. Because, you know, can we not use more joy? I know that I can. And then my seed packet word was steadfast. But then I opened up my journal, and it's called Playing in the Dirt. Not journal, devotional. And it's called Playing in the Dirt. And in each devotional was a little gold nugget. And on the golden nugget on the inside was another word, two words. And so my words were faith encouraged and excitement. And I have to tell you, I can't even tell you why or what it's about, but I have been so excited. So excited. I'm like, Lord. And then that was before I even opened this up. And then I saw the word excitement. And it just speaks to me and says, God is doing something. And it's so good. It's going to be so good. And I have every reason, and we have every reason to be excited. We might not know what's coming, but trust me, it's going to be good. And I want to share a little story about the title of this. It's called Playing in the Dirt. And, you know, we had tons of devotionals, and there were three devotionals that we didn't wrap till the very, very end because I thought maybe I would kind of pick some passages from it. I didn't, but I kept going back to this one, and I kind of cheated a little bit. I didn't just randomly pick a devotional. I just knew this was the one I was supposed to have, but I didn't know what the card said, but I had them wrap it anyway because I wanted to unwrap it. And so, knowing that, so this is called Playing in the Dirt, and I really didn't unwrap it till this morning because I couldn't find where I put it. And when I pulled out my laptop to get my notes, it was there in my bag where my laptop was. And so I want to share this quick story, Playing in the Dirt. This reminds me of a story when my brother and I were younger, and we would be in the house. My dad would look at the two of us and say, and he would holler, and he would say, go outside and play and don't come back till you're dirty. And we were like, and we'd go outside and we would play and we would not come back until we were dirty. I mean, so this to me was very fitting, playing in the dirt. And it says to me, that thing that he yelled at us has carried with me throughout my entire life. It's been wisdom for me. And I know he didn't mean it like that at the time. He was just a dad, go outside and play. But he was also a dad who didn't care if you got messy. In fact, the best thing to do is to get messy. And my event is called In the Garden. And you cannot create a beautiful garden without getting messy. God cannot create something beautiful in us without us getting messy. Things happen in the garden and things happen in our lives. There are weeds that have to be pulled. God has to pull the distractions out of our lives And they could be anything, but I mean, you know, it's between you and God, people, you know, just lots of different things. But the key is, you're going to get messy, and it's okay. But playing in the dirt, growing up, that was my thing that I carried with me, and it always spoke to me, and it said that no matter what you do, do it with all of your might. If you're going to go outside and play, then you put everything that you have into it. If you're going to spend time with God, then you pursue Him with all of your might. Put everything that you have into it. And so I just wanted to share that because I just think it's important. So back to the event. So the event was called In the Garden. And I'm not going to go over this, everything that happened, but there's one thing that stood out in knowing that I was going to speak today. Well, first, what is a garden? It can be a lot of different things, a retreat, a refuge, a shelter, a sanctuary, a consecrated place, a holy place, a safe place, a sacred, a space to grow, an area in which we worship. Most importantly, though, the garden is a place where we spend time with God. And I believe that we are in a season now where God is really, really calling us to be with Him, to spend time with Him. And as I was studying the garden, I started asking myself, what does the garden bring? Am I doing something wrong? Okay. What does the garden bring? And the answer is, so many things. The garden brings so many things. It's so vast that I couldn't even, you know, that's why I was having a hard time with my event, because there were so many things. How do I just choose one thing to talk about? But I want to say a few of the things that the garden brings, and then I want to highlight one of those things. But when you're in the garden with God, these are just some specific things. Blessings, you can experience blessings. When you're in the garden with God, He can breathe new life into you. He brings clarity. He gives you confidence. When you're in the garden with God, you get direction. Your discernment is heightened. He equips you. He gives you endurance. He brings freedom into your life. When you're in the garden with God, growth begins to happen. Your heart becomes refocused. You become hopeful where you've lost hope. When you're in the garden with God, He increases your faith. He brings you joy. Your knowledge is deepened. He nourishes you. When you're in the garden with God, He'll bring you peace. He positions you. Your purpose is revealed. You become reassured and recharged and realigned and refreshed. Restoration can happen. You become satisfied. Your thirst is quenched. Your understanding of God and the Word and the things around you becomes deepened. Wisdom is provided. The list could go on and on and on and on. I think the key is we just have to get in the garden and be with God. And whatever it is that we need at that particular moment, God is going to give it to us. Whatever it is you're lacking or needing, God can give it to you and wants to give it to you. But one of the things that stood out to me when I was preparing for this event was this thing that happens in the garden, alignment. It's alignment, but it's alignment with God's purposes. Because He doesn't just align us just to align us. He's got a purpose for us. And so when we're in the garden with Him, He's going to align us for His purpose. So what is alignment? So alignment is just kind of being arranged in a straight line. But if you want to go deeper, it's living in agreement with God's purpose. It's the place where God begins to put things in order, and it's where He positions us. That's what alignment is. When He positions us, when God positions us, He's putting us in a place, in a particular place. He's arranging us in a certain spot, and He's setting us there. We are placed there, and when we are set there, it means we're stable. When He positions us, that means we're stable. We're not easily moved nor disturbed. We don't have all these emotions going all over the place, because when you're positioned, you're positioned. You're steady. You're firm in your purpose. You're established. You don't waver. You're secure. You're sound. You're sure. You're strong. You become, when he positions us, we become deeply rooted. We become balanced and clear-headed. That's part of what being aligned with God means, aligned for his purpose when he aligns us. When he aligns us and he positions us, he's fixing us. And the reason he's doing that is because he's arranging us for proper use. And so when we are aligned, he is getting us ready, and then we become ready. He's making us ready, and then we become ready. When we are aligned with God, we are steadily directed, and we are not likely to fail or give way. It just means God is putting everything right inside of us. Not around us, but inside of us. So, alignment, and in the garden, what God is doing in the garden is he's calling us back to intimacy with himself. That's what it's about. He's shaking away the distractions, and he's bringing us back to a pure-hearted devotion towards him. And when we're there and he's aligning us, he's bringing us fresh vision and purpose back into our lives. He's pouring out strategies and solutions to problems and difficult situations. We're here for a purpose. And in this intimate time in the garden with God, he's speaking to us about our purpose. He's awakening within us gifts and talents and skills and knowledge, and he's birthing fresh ideas in us. In the garden, while he's aligning us, he's cultivating our faith. And as our faith is deepened, we'll find that it's not so hard to take risks. Sometimes what God is calling us to do is to take a risk, and risks are sometimes hard and scary. But when we're in the garden with him and we're positioned and he's aligning us, we'll find it's not so hard to take risks. And once we become aligned with our purpose, God will begin to show us the steps to take and the timing to take them. We don't have to question, okay, when is now the time, or do I wait? I mean, we all go through that, but I'm telling you, if you just get with God, you're going to hear something in your spirit. You're going to have a peace. Wait. Just wait. Okay, go. You know, you're going to hear God. You can't help but hear God when you're in the garden with him. And when we're in the garden with him, he begins to cast off fear and doubt. And so I think while we're in the garden with God, concerning our purpose, pay attention to the things that bring you life. Pay attention to the things that speak joy to you, because maybe that's what God is, maybe that's pertaining to your purpose. If you're in the garden with God and all of a sudden this particular thing brings you so much joy, maybe that's something that you need to take a step into. I lost my place. Oh, so we are at a place where we need to ask God. This is where we're at a place where we need to ask God if there's any area in our lives that we need to come back into alignment with him. Because it's easy to fall out of alignment. So easy. And I took a little break because I need to come. I mean, church is great and we should come to church. But sometimes, like, I just needed to take a break and be by myself for a minute because I needed to come back into alignment. Sometimes we get pulled in so many different directions, and we're not doing the thing that God has called us to do, because people, I don't mean just church, outside of church, people are pulling us in all these different directions, and we lose alignment, and we lose our focus. And I just needed to get back into alignment and refocus in what God was doing in my life, and to cut out all the distractions. I'm not talking about church, but just people, you know, pulling you in all these directions. I just needed to be back in alignment. And so this garden thing is not just something that I was speaking to everyone about, but this is also what God was speaking to me about in my own life. So we're at a place where we need to ask God, what area of my life do I need to come back into alignment with? Because if we feel like we are not established or rooted, if we feel like we're not stable, if we feel like we are not anchored or ready, if we feel like we're not, if we feel broken, if we feel like we will fail or give way at any moment, if we're fearful and have no confidence, and the list goes on, maybe we haven't been in the garden with God. And maybe we need to get back in the garden with God. I just know that God is calling us deeper, and that's what the garden is about. And there's something that's happening. There's something that is happening, and God is just wanting to align us. There's so much in this season and in the world that's happening, and there's purpose. He has purpose for us, and now is the time. Like, now is the time. But we're not going to be able to move in what he has called us to move in if we are not aligned with God. It's so imperative. It's so vital. It's so necessary that we get back in the garden and spend time with God. We need to be aligned. We need to be aligned. And even if you're super busy, you don't have to spend an hour or even 30 minutes. Take 5 minutes. Wake up 5 minutes earlier. Just 5 minutes. You're going to start with 5 minutes. But the thing is that when you spend time with God, the more that you'll want to spend time with God. And you'll see that 5 minutes begin to grow. But you can start off small. Just start off reading one scripture. One scripture each morning. And I'm telling you, after about 7 days, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm really loving this. Okay, I'm going to get up a little bit earlier. Or I'm going to also spend some time in the evening. You're going to see it begin to grow. So when we put God first, we will have a passion to make everything else in our lives line up with it. We will be able to say no to the things that are robbing and distracting us from God. We will literally be able to see ourselves making decisions that will get us closer to God and not further away. I think this is kind of short, but I just wanted to talk about being aligned with God. And I know, you know, this is what he's doing in my life. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that that's what he's doing in your life. It's a process, and it's okay to get messy. It's okay if your life looks messy, because, you know, there are things, you know, just like a regular garden, where he's removing hindrances. You know, in the garden, there are diseases, things that can take over the plants and push, you know, cause them to die. But in our own life, things can come in and cause us to move out of balance. So that's a hindrance that needs to be removed. In the garden, there's like infestations in our own, in like bugs and stuff. And in our own lives, there's people or circumstances distracting us from our growth. That's a hindrance that needs to be removed. In the garden, you can have drought. In our own lives, we can have drought. You know, when our soul and our spirit becomes just dark and heavy. But open the window and let some light in. Just step out into the sun. Open your Bible and let the light in. Storms, we can feel it. Storms in the garden, you know, that can drown out some of the plants. And we can feel drowned out or overwhelmed by life's problems. But I'm telling you, just get back aligned with God, and you're going to see all those hindrances become removed. So that's all I have.
That's great, Crystal. Thank you so much. And we just love the impact that your annual event has on so many ladies in the area. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing with us. And what a great alignment, to use a word we just heard, with what God's doing in our church family right now. Yeah, because we are in the midst of our mindset challenge for lifestyle change, so that we can see God change our direction, change our alignment, so that we're ready to be filled up with his purpose and to express it to the world around us. If any of you weren't here last week and didn't get one of the cards that we're using just to remind us of what it is God is saying to me, I'll leave them at the front here. But I think what I'd like us to do is to spend a moment in quiet to recognize that you and I have a Father who wants us to get messy. We have a Father who wants us to get messy. That means that he wants us to look at what is it in my life that he's changing. What is it in my life that requires a mindset change so that my life becomes more fruitful? What is it that Father God wants to point out to me that I can act on and then share with others? But one thing I want to just add to what Crystal was saying as we sort of move toward sharing communion together in just a moment here. And it's this. Remember, we had three questions last week. What's in my mind? What's in my heart? And what's in my hands? We're going to continue to unpack that as we go through, but I wanted to focus this morning on what's in my hands, because we've been talking about being in the garden and planting and getting messy and dirty and getting into the stuff of life. And that's often what's in our hands. And remember, we looked at Moses in the book of Exodus when he said, how are people going to know that God is with me? And everything that Crystal's just shared with us is all about how God is going to be seen in our lives because we're in alignment with him. And what God told Moses to do was to put down his staff and it became a snake, and then to pick it up again and it became a staff again. And this was the sign that God was with him. It was to do with what he puts down and what he picks up. And what it spoke to me this week as I was praying about how we'd move through this morning was that your experiences of God's presence matter. Every experience you have of God's presence is important. That's why we're focusing on making more room in our lives and in our gathering together for God's presence to come and touch us. And the reason your experiences of God's presence matter is because God doesn't want anything to be wasted. I guess it was inevitable that having Crystal come and speak about gardening, all of my gardening and plant background would come through. But even when there's loss in the garden, you can turn it into growth. Because you compost it. You know, if it dies, you stick it on the compost heap and then you bring it back out again and you put it on the ground. And guess what? Next year, everything grows even better. Or if you'd go in. That's very true. Yeah. No, you got stuff in your garden that looked like it died last fall. But actually, if you look carefully, it's coming back to life again. Right? And that's what we experience again and again in the body of Christ, isn't it? Stuff that you thought had withered up and died starts to sprout again. And we're in a season of sprouting, a season of growing. And that's exciting. I wanted to draw your attention just to one little thing because it ties us into communion as well. We all know John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. And we think that perish is to do with being, you know, burned up in hell or something, but it's not. The word for perish in the original Greek there just means to be thrown away. Kind of like Sherry's very good at going through the fridge and like, well, this has been in here for months, let's throw it out, you know. That stuff is perished. But God doesn't want anything to perish. So as God looks around this room, God looks at your life and my life, and he's not going to throw it away. He wants us to not perish. He wants us to be aligned. He wants us to be positioned. He wants us to be fruitful, as Crystal's just shared with us. God doesn't want anyone to be thrown away. But that same Greek word appears somewhere else in John's Gospel, just about three chapters later in John 6, after the feeding of the 5,000. And this is where it ties into what's in your hand. What's in my hand? Because when they'd all had enough to eat, these 5,000 men plus the ladies and the children on the hillside, when they'd all had enough to eat, remember there was just, how many was it? Five little loaves and two little sardines or whatever. Yeah. And everybody's eaten. Jesus has done an amazing miracle. But what does he say to the disciples, the 12, at the end of the feast? Thank you. That's John 6, verse 12. When they'd all had enough to eat, catch that. They'd all had enough to eat. Everybody's full. Kind of like when we have a meal together on a Sunday. Or when we come to Passover, the Passover Seder, we're going to get to the end of that and go, oh, I couldn't eat another thing. Okay? Remember to sign up for the Passover Seder, by the way. Otherwise, Ira will slap me. It's on the website. Sign up. But when we're full, he says to the 12, gather up the broken pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. You notice it's the broken pieces that he wants gathered up. It's all the bits and pieces of your life and my life. The stuff that you thought came to nothing. The stuff you thought had died and is going to sprout again. Jesus picks it all up so that nothing gets thrown away. It's that same word, shall not perish. So that nothing will be wasted. So your experiences matter, even the ones that feel like there were experiences of brokenness. Because when God picks them up, it becomes something in your hand. Because in just a moment, we're going to come and each of you is going to receive a piece of brokenness. That's how Jesus works. He gives us his brokenness so that our brokenness becomes his fullness. He wants us to look at what's in our hands, because the other way you could translate that word that we call thrown away could be the overflow. It's the stuff that overflows when God is in it. That's where the abundance connects to the brokenness. It's the same word in Greek. Isn't that amazing? Your brokenness becomes God's abundance, and it's in your hand. And God wants you to offer what God has done to other people. That's how we become aligned, positioned, fruitful in the garden. God takes what's gone wrong in our lives or what we feel is a mess, and he turns it around into something that can feed other people. That's why we say that this is a safe place to meet with God and to become who you're designed to be, and then to give his love away to others. So what is in your hand? What is in your hand? God has been transforming all of us. He's not done yet, but he's been transforming all of us. And that's why in these weeks leading up to Resurrection Day, we want to focus on what does God want to change in my mindset so that I can be all that he wants me to be. So we're going to come to the table. And what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to give you a piece of brokenness. And you're going to hold it and look at it, because this symbolizes for us what God wants to do. He wants to take what's broken and turn it into wholeness. So we'll receive both elements, but please gather round so that we can all receive together, because we're going to give thanks for our brokenness and then allow God to bring wholeness, as we are aligned and positioned with his plans, like Crystal just explained. So come on forward and receive, and then I'll lead us in prayer and we'll all take the elements together. Oh, and you're welcome to bring your offerings and return the tithe at some point during this time as well. So look at the broken bread in your hand. And let God remind you right now of all the ways that He's already been healing your brokenness. Because what He's done in you is what's in your hand. And this week, God is going to give you opportunity to talk to others about what He's done. Because He wants what He's done in you to spread to others. So Jesus, thank You that You allowed Yourself to be broken so we would be made whole. And thank You for every way that You've made me whole to this point, and every way You're going to continue to make me whole in the days and weeks ahead. So as I look at what's in my hand, I receive now Your wholeness in exchange for my brokenness, so that nothing is wasted. Let's receive the bread. And now take a look at the cup. It looks like a cup of suffering because this represents His blood. But Jesus didn't call it a cup of suffering. He called it a cup of covenant. Because it's a cup of potential. It's a cup of promise. It's a cup of hope. It's a cup of resurrection. It's a cup of commission. Because His life is in you. And His life is in you for the sake of the world. And so, Jesus, we thank You for pouring Your life into us every time we receive and remember. And thank You for Your commission to carry Your life everywhere we go. Now, if you're willing to receive His commission, receive the cup. So we're going to close with one more song. And as we're singing, I want you to just be listening to Holy Spirit. Some of you, He's going to show you that there's somebody here who needs you to impart something to them. That's part of the wholeness process. But some of you are also going to hear a challenge from God. Something to say to somebody outside of this room, something to do outside of this room. And if you're hearing that, I want you to grab somebody and just ask them to agree with you that God is in that, because you're going to do it this week. So while we're singing, listen for those two things and let's minister to one another around the room. Father, thank You that You are the good shepherd who pursues every lost sheep. And now as we align ourselves with You to do the same, I want to speak a benediction, a blessing over every one of us. It's from the end of the book of Hebrews. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us all that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Amen. Amen. Be blessed. We will see you back here Friday night for Franklin. And Saturday afternoon and evening, bring your friends, take flyers, invite folks, and then back here together on Sunday morning to celebrate. Franklin will be speaking next Sunday as well.